turn with me to Hebrews 13. Last week we looked at Psalm, the 23rd Psalm, specifically at the statement, "The Lord is my shepherd." And I didn't realize at the time the Lord was starting a series. I just kind of try to listen to the Lord. Linda asked me earlier in the week what I was going to be preaching on. I said, I have no idea. But apparently the Lord has started a series. I didn't know it, but he knew it. And so we're going to look at Hebrews 13, beginning in verse 5. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for each person here. And thank you, Lord, for the victory that we have in you. Hebrews 13, verse 5. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? So last week we said, the Lord is my shepherd. This week, the Lord is what? My helper. Aren't you glad the Lord is my helper? You know, we need helpers. If I had came up here by myself to build this gizmo for our rear projection yesterday, it probably wouldn't have got built. But I had a helper. And it doesn't it make a difference when you have a helper? And, you know, it's great that we can help one another, as we should. But sometimes people can be so, what's the word I'm looking for? Strong-willed, that they won't ask for help. You know? Why would a person not do that? When the Bible says, two is better than one, and a threefold cord is not easily broken. So we need helpers, and the greatest helper that we have is the Lord. The Lord is our helper. Amen? And, you know, you have not because you ask not. And sometimes you ask and you don't receive because you ask amiss. But if you have a need, I got good news. The Lord is your helper. Amen? Now, the second part of this says, I will not fear. You know, we fear because we find ourselves at times in a situation that seems bigger than us. And oftentimes it is bigger than us. We may face an illness. We may face relationship problems. We may face financial problems. And if we give in to the fear, we are mortified. We're in a bad place, right? And we're human. It's natural to give in to fear. If it wasn't, God wouldn't have had to say 365 times in his word, fear not. Now, when we find ourselves in that position, the Bible tells us to remember that the Lord is our helper. When David faced Goliath, he understood that Goliath was bigger than him, but he also understood that God was bigger than Goliath. Amen? He knew the Lord was his helper. He had experience watching his father's sheep to see how the Lord helped him. And so we need to look back on the times that we've been through fearful situations and remember, like David did, when the bear got the sheep, when the lion got the sheep, I did this, I did that, and rehearse in our mind those times in our life. Remember the time when you had more bills than you could pay? And here you are, you're not in prison, you didn't go bankrupt. The Lord was your helper, amen? He saw you through. Praise the Lord. All right, we're going to look at a few verses mostly from Psalms before we get into some other text. And I'm just going to read these. Psalm 3:6, I will not be afraid of 10,000 of people that have set themselves against me round about. Many of us know that verse. Now, how can the psalmist say, I will not be afraid of 10,000 of people? I mean, sometimes three guys. You're walking down a dark alley and three guys are following you, and your heart starts doing this. Here the psalmist said, I'm not going to be afraid of 10,000 people. Maybe he had a grasp of the Lord that we don't have if our heart starts thumping at three. Now, I'm not saying that you need to be foolish. I mean, God gave us a fear factor so that we know when danger comes, we flee danger. But while we're fleeing, David had enough common sense to flee from Saul when he was trying to kill him. But while he's running from Saul, who's trying to kill him, he's testifying, the Lord is my helper. Amen. Psalm 20, verse 7, some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. You know, the name is the power. Have you ever known someone important and you kind of like drop names? Well, you know, I know Reverend so-and-so, or I know Senator whatever, you know. Kind of makes you feel important because you are associated with someone important. Well, we're going to remember the name of the Lord our God. You know, the Lord is my helper. Why not let him help us? Why not testify to the power of God? The Lord is my helper. I'm not going to fear. What can man do to me? Jesus said, don't fear man that can destroy the body, but fear God who can destroy the body and soul in hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. We got to have our perspective straight. Amen. Praise the Lord. 23rd Psalm, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you're with me. Your rod and your staff comforts me. This does not say that I will not walk through the valley. It says, when I or though I may walk through, I will fear no evil. I don't like teaching that suggests that we never go through valleys, because we do. We're going to go through valleys. We're going to have problems. We're going to have challenges. I mean, look at the Bible characters. We read this morning what Saul went through and some of the others in Ephesus and the sheer violence that was about to take place. We think of Joseph of the Old Testament, of being sold into slavery and falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. He spent time in jail and he was innocent. We're going to go through valleys. We're going to go through the valleys of the shadow of death. But we're not going to fear. Because the Lord is our helper. I mean, he's our helper. Whatever we go through, we got a name we can call on. Jesus! King Jesus! And the Lord delights to be our helper. He's not too busy to be our helper. He's not too concerned. You know, there are times I say, Lord, you're busy spinning worlds and commanding angels. And then I remember, oh yeah, he exists outside of time. He can spin worlds, command angels, look over Israel, and still has time for me and a sparrow. Aren't you glad this morning? The Lord is our helper. Hallelujah. Yes. And though a host should encamp against me, Psalm 27:3, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this I will be confident. You know, that's where fear comes from. It comes from the heart. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So are we dwelling on the fear factor? Or are we dwelling on the fact that God is our helper? You know, I have learned that the more I meditate on verses like, the Lord is my helper, the less my heart is prone to fear. I think rehearsing the presence of God and rehearsing the power of God on a daily basis is paramount to living the victorious life. We are bombarded by things from the media, through social media, through the television, through ungodly people on a daily basis. Ought we not to be built up in our most holy faith, confessing and believing that the Lord is going to help me whatever I face? Yes and amen. Amen. Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. I like that present help. Not past, not future. He's not I was, he's not I will be, he is I am. The Lord my God, Jehovah Sikkenu, I am there. Glory to God, he's here. He's a present help in time of trouble. Therefore will I not fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. You know, someone said after the church fire and then the flood, what's next? And I said, I guess an earthquake. But you know what? He says, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. That's an earthquake. He said, I'm not going to fear. God is my refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. The Lord is my helper, a very present help in trouble. He's not my helper tomorrow. He's my helper right now. Amen. And then Psalm 91:5, thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night or the arrows that fly by day. Notice this is a commandment of the Lord. You will not be afraid. Fear not. It's a commandment. You know, sometimes people forget that commandments are given to us to obey. You know, we can, who was it, Joyce Meyer said, do it afraid? Yeah. You know, we may feel the emotions of fear because God gave us emotions. But we quote the word, I will not be afraid of the terror by night or the arrows that fly by day. And we walk in the word, and Philippians teaches us form building. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. I like to think of it like when you're building a sidewalk and you build the wooden frame before you pour in the cement. And then it takes a little time and then the cement dries. So when we feel fear, we don't respond with our feelings. We respond with the bedrock of God's word. And though we may not have the emotions that line up with the word, when we keep waiting on God and confessing the word, it solidifies as we build the frame, and then we have something firm that we can stand on. Amen. Praise the Lord. In Psalm 118:6, the Lord is on my side. We forget that sometimes, do. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord's on my side. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 3:24. When you lie down, you shall not be afraid. Yes, you shall lie down, and your sleep shall be sweet. Have you ever had something running over in your head at night and you couldn't sleep because you're worried about something? The word there is repent. Amen. Repent of that. Put your trust in the Lord. Isaiah 12:2. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. All right. There's our introduction. Now, flip back with me to Numbers 13, and we're going to look at how the Lord is our helper in a practical sense from Israel's. I love to read how people did it wrong, because then I can hopefully learn from them. The book of Numbers, chapter 13. Numbers 13, we're going to begin reading at verse 27. We're kind of get right in the middle of this whole Kadesh Barnea story. Most of you know it, where they come to the promised land, but the giants are there. And then they told him, they said, we went to the land when you sent us. It is truly, it truly flows with milk and honey. And this is the fruit. And of course, they're holding up huge fruit from the land. Nevertheless, the people who dwelled in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites by the sea along the banks of the Jordan. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. Don't you just love Caleb? But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Now, what was wrong with his viewpoint there? He was comparing their strength, his strength, to their strength. He made a true statement. Giants are stronger than you and I. He just forgot the Lord is our helper. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land, which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature." Now, you know, personally, I feel that if anyone, and there are evangelists of fear that will come in your life. They don't know they're evangelists of fear. They're people who think they're talking reason. Oh, you better get an attorney. You'll never see your son again. I had that said to me once when my first wife left me for a while. But God brought her back. I fasted and prayed. I didn't get an attorney. But when somebody comes to you and confesses something like they have here in the text, or like what that person said to me, it requires a response, because just as the Word of God releases power in the spiritual realm, so does doubt, fear, and unbelief. And when someone speaks defeat over you, it requires a response that, bless you, that is the Word of God. The Lord said, "My wife will come back." That's what I said to that person. And then, of course, they rolled their eyes and walked away and said, "Well, I was just trying to help." You know, because the world doesn't understand. But when someone speaks doubt, fear, and unbelief in your life, it requires a response, and you must not be silent. You must say, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" You must respond with the Word of God. So there, they said, "We saw giants. The descendants of Anak came up from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight." Chapter 14. "So all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night." Now see what happens if someone doesn't stand up and counteract these voices of doubt, fear, and unbelief? It brings heartache. It brings pain. It brings tears. God give us men and women with backbones that'll stand up against the majority and say, "Well, thus saith the Lord." Amen. That's what the world needs right now. "And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, 'If only we had died in the land of Egypt.'" You boneheads. "Or if we had died in the wilderness, why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword?" Do you know what? The Lord's ways are not your ways. You may go through a valley that looks like God is trying to kill you, but you've got to trust the Lord. You got to say, "The Lord is my helper. I may not understand it. Everything that I'm going through may look bleak and dark and not make any sense, but I'm going to trust the Lord. I'm going to know that the Lord is my helper, and I'm not going to fear. What can man do to me?" You know, and what is the worst that we could do? Jesus said they can only kill the body. All they'll do is send us to heaven a little earlier. Get to see some of our loved ones that went on ahead of us. Come on, Lord. Whatever it takes. I've found that oftentimes the fear of something is worse than the actual event. The dread of it. And then when you get there, it's like, "Well, what was I afraid of? This wasn't bad. Everything turned out okay." And so, God, help us not to fear. "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" And so they said this land, talked about fall by the sword, and our wives and our children should become victims, and la 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 la. "Would it be better if we returned to Egypt?" So they said to one another, "Let's select a leader and let's go back to Egypt." Talk about fickle. Now, before you get on their case, we've all been fickle at one time or another. We've shouted, "The Lord's my helper," on Sunday morning and felt like, "God, you've abandoned me," on Monday night. That's called fickle, isn't it? "Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all of the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes, and they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, "The land we passed through to spy out is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey." If the Lord delights in us. Does the Lord delight in you? You know, sometimes I think as Christians, especially when we've been Christians for a while, we forget how much Jesus loves us. Maybe we get caught up in trying to please the Lord by our own works and the devil throwing our failures in our face. But Jesus loved you while you were yet a sinner. Ought not he to love you even more today when you're his adopted child? Think about it. So don't listen to the lies of the devil. The Lord delights in you. He's delighting. He's elbowing an angel and saying, "Hey, check out my servant Eddie down there. Check out Linda this morning." You know, he's delighting in all of us because he loves us and he's our helper. And we don't need to fear, what can man do to us? The Lord is our helper this morning, children. Hallelujah. He's my helper. He's my helper. I said the Lord is my helper. Glory to God. Now flip over to Habakkuk, one of those minor prophets. 9 and then Habakkuk. You hit Zephaniah, you went too far. Now let me tell you about Habakkuk. You know, they call them minor prophets not because they were less spiritual than Isaiah or somebody. It was just by the volume that they wrote, shorter chapters or shorter book. And Habakkuk, God doesn't always tell people what's going on, but he told Habakkuk. He said, "Israel has sinned away, and I'm not pleased with them. So I'm going to bring this nation that's more wicked than them in to destroy them." Aren't you glad God doesn't share some of the stuff he's going to do with you and I? And we wouldn't sleep at night, probably. And that really confused Habakkuk. Why would God use a nation more wicked than his own, than Israel, to destroy them? Because whom a father loves, he chastises. You know, that's his children, and they've disappointed him, and he's going to give them a spanking. And in chapter 2, verse 1, he says, "I will stand my watch and set myself on a rampart and watch and see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected." Now, he's like, "Lord, I really need an answer on this. I don't understand." And the answer is from the Lord. "The Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he who runs may read it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but the end it will speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry." All right. "Behold the proud, his soul is not upright him. But," say it with me, "the just shall live by faith." And what that's saying there is, you may face some things in your life that are fearful. You may face some things that don't make sense, like Habakkuk. But you walk by faith and not by sight. You know, trust is a byproduct of faith. If you have faith in someone, you trust them. If somebody said, you know, "I'm going to be there," like Karen said, "I'll be there early and I'll help you with those sandwiches," I have faith she's going to be here, and therefore I trust her. Or otherwise, I would like, oh, I'd be freaking out. She said she's going to be here, but what if she doesn't show up? We won't have sandwiches for Saturday night. What are we going to do? But, you know, when you trust someone, you trust them because you have faith in them. And though we may go through some dark times, and though it may be times that we don't understand, you and I, the children of God, the just, we live by faith. And so we say, well, you know, I don't know about you, but the Lord's my helper, so I'm not afraid. What can man do to me? The Lord's my helper. Do you believe it? Is the Lord faithful? Do you trust the Lord this morning? Do you trust him as much as I trust Karen? Hopefully more, right? Then God is on the throne. It's going to be all right. Now, let's flip back. We're getting ready to close here. Linda, why don't you come on up, if you would. Chapter 3, verse 16. Habakkuk 3:16. When I heard, my body trembled. Now, that's kind of normal when you hear bad news, you know. Russian MiGs are in Florida. Red Dawn, right? You know, you hear news like that, you might go, When I heard, my body trembled, my lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered my bones, and I trembled in myself, that I might rest in the day of trouble when he comes upon the people. He will invade with the troops. However, here's what the man of faith says. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vine, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flocks may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stall. I like to add, Walmart shelves are empty, and there's no trucks coming this way. You know, that would kind of relate to that, right? Modern vernacular. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord, and I will joy in the God of my salvation. I will rejoice in the Lord. People say, have you heard? Russian MiGs in Florida, Walmart shelves are empty. Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. Jesus is still on the throne. There's no supply lines between here and heaven that are cut off. I know my Redeemer lives. And then he says, the Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like deer's feet. You ever seen the deer jump? Think about it. You know, if you've been around a while, especially if you've been in any Pentecostal churches, you've seen some people dance and jump a little bit. But I ain't seen anybody ever jump like a deer. But he says, the Lord will do it. I'll joy in the God of my salvation. He'll make my feet like deer's feet. And then a lot of people don't understand this last verse. And I'm going to preach a little bit on this before we close. He said he'll make me to walk on my high places or my high hills. That's what New King James says. I don't like that one. I'm going to stick with high places. The high places in the Old Testament was where the groves were that worshiped Baal. It represents those areas of our lives, whether we admit it or not, that we need to work on. Besetting sins, weaknesses, whatever you want to call them. And he says, I will joy in the God of my salvation. I'll rejoice in the Lord. The Lord is my strength. Right? The Lord God is my strength. He makes my feet like deer's feet, and he makes me to put those things, those besetting sins, under my feet. Glory to God. That's called victory. That's called victory. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Linda, you can start playing whenever you're ready. We're going to close in prayer and maybe minister a little bit this morning. So, the Lord is my helper. The Lord is my helper. That's okay. The Lord is my helper. Yesterday, Rick was my helper. Saturday, Karen's going to be my helper. But if Rick wasn't around and Karen wasn't available and I have a problem, I know who to go to. The Lord is my helper. And I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not afraid. Whatever I face. Now, I may be tempted to be afraid, but I got to remember this text. We all have to remember it. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Let's pray. Father, we love you this morning. And we thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy, your long suffering, your gentleness, for your faithfulness, for you're always there, that you'll never leave us. You'll never forsake us. You'll never let us down. And so this morning, I just pray, Lord, for each one of us here, that you would, Lord, just drive home the reality that you want to help us, that you rejoice, you delight in us. When Joshua and Caleb said, we can have the land, the Lord delights in us, I believe we can have whatever the Lord wants us to have because he delights in us. And we need not fear what man can do. For the Lord is our helper, and he'll see us through. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, God bless you. Thank you for coming. We're done now, but that's okay. Go ahead and play a little bit. That's all right. Go ahead and play a little bit. Go ahead. Don't stop. If you've been struggling maybe with fear in some area this morning and you need prayer, we'd be happy to pray with you. Amen. Not going to embarrass anybody. You don't have to come up if you don't want to. But if you need prayer in a certain area for fear, just slip your hand up and let us pray with you. Anybody? God bless you. Anybody else? Anybody else? Going once, going twice. Pull it down just a little bit, Linda, if you could. Thank you. There you go. All right. Okay. Well, there may be some people who didn't raise their hand, so we're just going to pray for everybody this morning. Lord, for that person or the people who didn't raise their hand, and maybe they've faced some fearful things, Lord, we pray that the reality of the Lord as our helper would become so real, so powerful in our lives, and I say ours, that anytime the slightest inclination of fear would come on us believers that the Lord delights in, that we would recognize it immediately and combat it with the word, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. Lord, let that ring out a truth in our mind and our heart, our spirit and our soul, our emotions. The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear. Lord, bless everybody who has experienced this feeling. Strengthen them in the inner man, and may the power of the Holy Spirit just renew our spirit with a burst of faith that the Lord is certainly my helper and I no longer need to fear. We ask it in the mighty name of Jesus this morning. And everybody said, Amen. All right. God bless you. Thank you for coming. Give someone a big hug before you go.